So Psalm 90, it's fun that whoever wrote the curriculum for kids picked two songs in a row, and I love the songs. We talked a little bit about the songs last week, just to remind you. Near as you can tell, the songs are the original hymnbook of our people. They're not organized chronologically. They seem to be organized topically. There's 150 of them, which is a really cool kind of even number for their need. It seems like they're written by a bunch of different people, but it looks like we can tell that they were used liturgically. There's a section called the Psalms of Ascents where they would read them as they're going up the stairs into the temple. As they're migrating up to Jerusalem, they say them back and forth as liturgical worship. There's some who are getting back at their enemies for times when life is hard, and some for times when life is good. It looks like in the first century, our people had organized educational system where the first level of school was to memorize all 150 songs. It's funny, I had mentioned it before, but I have a professor in seminary who got his PhD from a Hebrew school. He was the only person in the school there that wasn't trained to be a rabbi. He was also the only one who didn't have the Holy Bible memorized. So apparently they're still doing that. That was in the late 80s. I don't know when they stopped. In the late 80s, he felt like he was the odd man out for the So the Psalms have been important to our people for a long time, and it's a great place to just pick up and read. I've been through seasons of my life where I just read a psalm in a day. Sometimes it feels like it does nothing for you, and other days it moves up, so it kind of puts new glasses on and you see the world. Psalms are really helpful. Psalm 90 is a fun one for me because several years ago now, Megan and I took a trip with a mentor of mine from seminary. He led us on a hiking trip down into a section of the Grand Canyon. And I was excited about the trip and a little bit less excited about like his devotional. He had us reading like this little devotional book and like memorizing the song. Very kind of pitchy and programmed, but there's something about memorizing scripture where when I'm reading this psalm and making myself memorize it over a 4-day trip, that it seeps in differently and it's associated, the psalm is now associated with the things I've seen on that journey. So when I read Psalm 90, I remember the Grand Canyon. Songs are a helpful place also for us to learn memorization. Psalm 90 is that for me. I'll just read all of it. We won't think about all of it today. There's just a couple of sections of it that are really helpful, but it's nice to get the whole flow of it. So here's Psalm 90. It says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. He said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watching night. You sweep them away as a flood, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath, we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their spans with toil and trouble, they are soon gone and fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So, teach us to number our days, that we may gain or get a heart of wisdom. Return, beyond your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen people. Let your work be shown to our servants. Let your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. First thing I was thinking about as I read this is that phrase, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And the reason I was thinking about it is because the idea or the concept of something being everlasting is so hard for us to grasp, because we are so firmly planted in the kind of impermanence of our lives, right? I remember when Wesley, it was the first time I have been or watched a kid grow up as closely, right? This was my first one. And I remember kind of being taken aback when he realized, I can't remember if it was like then he says, return to dust, oh man. He says, like, you return man to dust and say return to dust, and he has the thing about the grass that withers and fades, because our lives are so short compared to the period of everlasting. But it's God. The next thing I thought about there is just worth reminding you that not only was life God's idea, but so was huge. Every once in a while, you are one of God's new things. Before God called you, you didn't exist. He called you forth out of heaven just because He wouldn't have a world without you. The God of everlasting, everlasting makes you on purpose, not by accident. He puts you here in this space. While He is living in the space of everlasting, we are living in the space where I'm having more and more conversations about how the body's getting old. It's probably how the third century, and I feel like I'm turning the corner all the way. I feel like it's getting past it. I was like listening to some dude that helps coach one of Ellis' softball team. Moses said that our years are 70 or 80 if we have the strength, and they end with a sigh. It's not like we kill 80 and run going on strong, right? It's like our bodies fall apart underneath us. They end with a sigh. So then he says in verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I think I've been feeling this, and Megan won't let me say I'm getting old anymore. She said I've been saying it too much. And so I have to say that it would be wise.
I agree. You're saying it way too much.
Look at how he finishes it.
He's like talked about how great and everlasting God is, how fun and creative the idea of life is, the reality of our limitations, and in the span of everlasting, and how short 80 years is, and how it's not like we kill 80 years, but we're worn out. Then he says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to retain the perspective of what we're caught up in order that we would be wise. And then look at how he finishes. Verse 16, let your word be shown to our servants, and your glorious power to our children. That's good. But here's the thing that God wants. 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I thought this was so compelling that Moses is like grappling with the reality that he has a short period of time that is shorter than in life, and he barely makes it that long. He's looking at that in the space of the scope of the everlasting. He says, teach me then to number my days and appreciate the ones that you've given me. And then his final prayer is, in the midst of these, let me accomplish the work that I'm doing. Establish, meaning fortify and strengthen the thing I'm doing with my time. It's so interesting that Moses, this like archetypal prophet, this like man who speaks to God, another man speaks to a man face to face, the one who leads our people out of Egypt across the Red Sea and up to the shores of the promised land, the one who is buried by the hand of God himself, who looks so really at the 80 years, has work that he believes in, and in the span and looking at the reality of the shortness of his life, the thing that he asks God for is that he would establish this work I'm doing because it's worth it. Start to think that if Moses is a type of new father, then I can have work I believe in too. Then if I start to follow in the way of our people, and when I look at the limited nature of my life, one of the things that occurs to me will be, Lord, before I'm gone, establish the work that I have called. Look with me real quickly just back to the beginning. If you want, I don't know if you want to come back and talk about it. It's a good song anyway. It was during our time of worship. But go back to the left and look at Genesis chapter 2, right? Has been overset, but it's worth looking at. You just have to find where it is. Oh. Remember that God faced the world without a point of reference? So technology can speed up in our creation because we build on what's been built before. I used to think about that a lot with cars. My dad would work on cars a lot, and I'd see all these component parts that all have to work with a little explosion happening all the time inside this contained thing. And I was so amazed at the mechanism of it. I thought, who thinks of this mechanism? And then I realized, oh, no one thought of all of it. Somebody improved the carburetor to the fuel injection, right? You wouldn't have thought of fuel injection until you had a carburetor. Our creation is often derivative, coming on top of something else. God creates the world out of nothing. His own sheer imagination creates out of nothing this garden, right? With like little lizards that recreate their tails. Who thought of that? With trees that are alive, sort of, but not so alive that they get up and walk around, but they naturally produce the kinds of things that other people need to breathe. Right? With rivers that move the water, who would have thought that water would move through channels that would have the right kind of molecular viscosity and stick together and not just disperse everywhere, but run in channels and carry through? God creates all of this out of his own imagination. Why? In order that he could give it to humanity. His image bearers in the world. He creates it in order that he can take his image bearers and put them right down in the middle of this thing that no one had ever thought of. Look at Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God took the man, verse 15, and put him in the Garden of Eden. Why? To work.
That you are the image bearers of God, the
caretakers of the world, that ministers of his justice, mercy, love, protection, of his ingenuity and creativity, of his inspiration in the world. You are the image bearers and the caretakers of these things into the world. Your 70, 80 years are valuable. They are the hands and feet of God in the world. Don't diminish them to entertainment and comfort. Don't do it. The time is short and valuable. You are worth more than entertainment and comfort, than isolation and ease. You are worth the work that God Himself will establish. Last thought is, I asked the Lord, together in our heart. Leave us now as Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we move towards worship this morning, that Psalm 90 might be a good place for you to come back as we move towards some time in worship. Psalm 90. There's a place back there if you want to write down prayers. If you stick it in the box, somebody will get in touch with you this week and pray with you about that. And the lyrics for our music is on our website, go to crossbanda.org.